Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. So, what happens when your best employee isn't exactly your employee? HME staffing firm Tactical Back Office was born out of an HME provider seeking a new approach to creating flexible, scalable teams for HME providers. And here to talk about that and the insourcing alternative that Tactical Back Office offers is Todd Usher. Todd is the founder and CEO of Tactical Back Office, as well as an HME owner and operator himself. Todd, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Todd's talked to us before, and we think the stuff he offers is right in line with what HMB providers need. So, Todd, in a nutshell, what is the service that Tactical Back Office provides, and how did you come up with the idea? Maybe you can kind of explain it in a way that it'll resonate with the readers.
We offer staffing solutions for today's environment where we can't find local personnel, or for a cost savings measure. It was born out of our DME company when the rural rollout occurred in 2016. We took that big 60% pay cut, and we couldn't quite pay people the $15 an hour plus that they were demanding. So this was the next best idea. We started hiring our Philippine team, and that worked out well for us. So that's how the idea started. And then we launched Tactical Back Office with a sleep lab locally down in Fresno that took on their first personnel. And we've grown from that point.
Got it. And again, you mentioned that this is a Philippine team. So this is sort of it's not outsourcing. It's a staffing solution. This is a team of trained people that are located overseas, but through the magic of telecommunications and data communications, they're able to function seamlessly as a team member of an HME provider. Is that a good way to put it?
Absolutely. When we onboard them with us, we put them through training, and then we assign them to the client, and they are not shared with any other client. So unlike a service that provides a billing solution out there, we assign personnel directly to the client or the HME provider, and it is their employee from that day forward.
Todd, I believe that you've called this approach insourcing, and I think that's a neat way to put it. How does insourcing differ from outsourcing? And why would a provider choose insourcing as opposed to outsourcing?
I believe insourcing gives you greater control over your business. When you insource staff through Tactical Back Office, and we provide you with that staffing, you have complete control and of the day-to-day operations of what that staff provides. So if you hire somebody and you bring them on board, they're responsible to you to meet your objectives, your KPI. They show up to your work on time and they follow your direction. With a service, you're assigned a point person in some big city, USA, and you have no idea who's working your account. You have no idea how qualified they are. And you have a general idea of how they're accomplishing it with your monthly or quarterly meetings with your point person. But really, that's it. There's a benefit to that. It's out of sight, out of mind, and hopefully they do a good job. What we're trying to accomplish is give you qualified personnel that's already trained that can start working on day one and follow your direction as to what your specific needs are. And that's insourcing, because you're actually bringing somebody on board with your existing team, and training them in the qualifications that you need or training that you need.
It's kind of like if you want to be a little bit more hands-on or a lot bit more hands-on, this is probably the direction you want to go. How does this address HME providers' unique staffing challenges? Because this is, I think even in recent years, especially with the pandemic, we're starting to see, or like another example would be the Philips recall. We're starting to see these kind of really unique kind of staffing needs materialize. How does it appeal to providers in that regard?
Well, right now I talk to a lot of clients that are newly onboarding with Tactical Back Office, and their primary concern is the ability to get staff in the first place, keep staff in the second place, and make that staff happy, which is really hard to do with today's younger generation of workforce that's onboarding with clients. I hear that often, and when somebody leaves for another job or quits or doesn't have the motivation to work, it's really discouraging from an owner perspective or somebody who has responsibility to bring a team on. With Tactical Back Office, we don't have those issues. We have a lot of qualified personnel ready to onboard with the client, ready to get to work, start on time, and are respectful to you, the boss or the client that is hiring these folks, and want to make sure that you're happy with their performance. And we haven't seen that kind of work ethic in years. So that's the difference between what we see today locally and what we're able to provide to each individual HME client.
And again, essentially, they function like the provider's employees. They're not like a shared asset that's shared between different HME providers.
Absolutely. Each person or team member is assigned to the client, and that's it. They keep them indefinitely. And so you include them on your team meetings, your department meetings, your team objectives, your KPIs. I have some clients that include them on their quarterly bonuses because they reach those objectives that they've set out for themselves. So yes, these are permanent members of your team. All we act as is an HR resource in the background if somebody calls in sick, goes on maternity leave, quits, et cetera, et cetera. We'll make sure that gap is covered pretty quickly.
So Todd, kind of a blunt question, but who pays these people? They function like an employee for the HME provider. Is the HME provider taking care of their compensation? Or does Tactical Back Office do that? How does that kind of work?
Tactical Back Office pays these folks for the services that they provide. All we do, or all the client sees, is a weekly confirmation of the time that's been worked. So 40 hours a week, just acknowledging Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, et cetera, et cetera. And then once a month, they'll get an invoice and that's it. We handle all the back-end HR stuff like PTO, pay, sick time, local holidays in the Philippines, double time, overtime, all of those things we handle, and it's seamless to the provider. All the provider has to worry about is what hours they're working, sign that log or the acknowledgement of what hours they worked each week, once a week, and then they get a bill once a month afterwards. That's it.
Getting a little bit more into the nitty-gritty of the employees, what kind of qualities do they have? Because obviously we're talking about some pretty specialized knowledge here. What kind of skills, what kind of abilities do they bring to the table right off the bat?
Most of our folks onboard with us with previous call center experience. So what we have to do over the first month or two of training is vet them to make sure they're going to be a good qualified employee, kind of rate them on what kind of absorption they have of the training material that we're covering with them. So by the time they onboard with the client, they are well-versed in the job task at hand, PARS, resupply, answering the phones, operator, et cetera, et cetera. And they have a working knowledge of our industry operating system. And we know, because we've watched them for 2 months, that they're going to be a good placement. The client doesn't see the turnover that we experience. That's why we can tell the client that we actually have a 5% turnover rate once that team member is placed with the client. Because by that time, we've already worked through anybody that's not going to make it and given them the best of that group that we onboarded.
Got it. So if these are, say somebody's like a back office billing employee or something like that, they're going to know Brightree and they're going to understand how, say, Medicare billing works and things like that, or Medicare claims work and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. We're going to train them on the LCD. They're going to know how to build that chart. They're going to know what it takes to do an oxygen discharge out of a hospital and what's going to be required to bill it. They're going to know all those things. And for a billing, like you're using a biller as an example, if you need a private collector, private insurance collector, or someone who works government collections or patient collections or posting or anything like that, we train them on that specific job and then we can place them with the client.
Okay. So now I'm kind of curious to hear, because like I have in my head what these employees are doing, but I'd love to hear how from you. What kind of roles are they fulfilling? You know, are they doing mostly back office stuff? Are they also doing front office stuff? Obviously over the phone. What kind of jobs are they doing?
I'm glad you asked that. A lot of folks, because of our name, think it's just back office, like billing, posting, et cetera, et cetera. When in fact, most of our team members are doing front office work. They are answering the phones. They're acting in an operator role. They're directing phone calls. They're handling resupply patients, hospital discharges. They're handling hospital beds. We even have hospice folks that are being assigned to hospice to process hospice orders.
Oh, wow.
And then we also have some positions we didn't think of. Our clients have led us in that direction, like clinical and respiratory therapists, dispatchers for the technicians that are out in the field, which quite frankly has reduced complaints dramatically, because that dispatcher is the conduit of communication, or the hub of communication, between the patient, the referral, the technician, the intake department, and they keep everybody informed of what the latest is.
So speaking in communication and kind of frontline roles, and obviously we're talking about somebody in the Philippines. Are there, accent issues, or I imagine their English capabilities are really strong. Maybe you could tell me a bit about that.
Absolutely. They've been speaking English since they were in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And most of them are spot on. And for those folks that aren't spot on, that just means we place them on back end roles like posting or billing or something like that. But we try to identify those strong English speaking candidates and put them on front end roles like operator, intake, et cetera. And it really does help everybody out, because their English is really good and it is very easy to understand. Of course, that's most of them. There may be a few out there that need a little fine tuning, but I haven't had one complaint.
So you guys have been around for a while. Tell me about some of these your longer term staffing placements. Obviously, they must be adept if they're staying with your provider customers for some time. And obviously, you guys have been expanding. We've been watching you here at HME Business for, I want to say about a year and a half, 2 years. You know, what are some of your longer term employees looking like these days?
They are promoting to new positions within the businesses or clients that we have. So we don't actually do the promotion. The clients are so impressed with the quality of personnel that they're getting that they call us and say, I need to promote this person for whatever role that may be. It's usually intake lead, intake supervisors, senior intake positions. That's the success that we're experiencing, because we're providing these personnel and the DME or HME provider recognizes the fact that they haven't had that quality of personnel before, and they want to reward them for it, which is really encouraging for us, because we get to see these people succeed and actually get promoted through the ranks because of the hard work that they're doing all on the provider's behalf.
Wow. And this is all happening with a far cheaper HR footprint.
Yes, they can add employees for about half the cost of what they would locally. And they can also add more personnel to the positions that they wouldn't be able to locally either. And what I mean by that is there's always something else in our industry that we could do in our business, and we just don't have the money to hire the personnel to do it. Where with Tactical Back Office, you now have the resources to do that. So instead of having one person on billing, perhaps you can get two or three people on billing, because now you can afford to do so.
And I imagine you can also add in temporary employees too, right? Like for instance, if there's some sort of local healthcare issue that crops up or something like that, or maybe, it's like the pandemic and you have to answer a lot of incoming phone calls all of a sudden, you can sort of add employees to deal with a temporary demand and then perhaps release those employees back to Tactical Back Office's pool when you no longer need them.
Absolutely. We have three clients that hired personnel for the Respironics recall because they did not want Respironics talking to their patients or handling the recall after they were the ones that caused it in the first place. So they contacted us. We assigned personnel to them. Not only did they handle the communication of the recall, but they were also able to realize some more resupply patients because they were doing that outreach and had better control over the messaging that was being delivered to those patients affected by the recall. Whereas it wasn't a outsourcing that was doing it. They were insourcing that capability so they can handle the messaging, and they actually benefit from it so far because they were getting more resupply patients as a result.
So we kind of touched on this here and there in the interview, but going back to onboarding the new employees, obviously you guys are doing a lot of the training. So really the only training that would happen with the provider is things that are very specific to their business, right?
Yes, we train people about 80% of the way. So if you need somebody for front-end intake, operator, resupply, billing, posting, patient collections, dispatch, whatever the case may be, we will train them about 80% of the way. So that all that's required is for the local provider to train them on their unique needs, on their unique marketplace with their referrals and how they and what payers they take, et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to get all the HME 101 out of the way, which is really a hard task to complete when you're doing it so often nowadays.
Yeah,
we do that for you. We get that out of the way. So by the time they walk through your door, the only training you have to do, which amounts to about a week or two, is advising them how you do the day-to-day operations, how you handle that account, how you handle what payers you take, what referrals get, what answer, what equipment, et cetera, et cetera. We've handled everything else. All the basics are out of the way.
All right. So getting away from the basics, obviously you guys have a set of, skill sets and what you and expectations as to how you think your staff are going to be brought on board at various HME providers to fulfill different tasks. What if an HME provider has, totally different tasks, totally different, needs that they're trying to fill? Can you guys still accommodate that?
If you think of us as a boutique, that's exactly what we are. And we are going to accommodate whatever needs come our way. And we have been challenged by some of our clients to do some of those things. We don't know exactly what they're looking for, and they don't know what they're looking for, but we understand the task and the challenge has been given to us to make it happen. So yes, we can accommodate those needs as they come up.
Oh, interesting. So you guys can kind of collaborate a bit with your HME provider customers.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example of the clinical role. We have not placed respiratory therapists or in a clinical role before. About a few months ago, we were asked to do so. We've identified some clinical and respiratory therapists that could fill that position, and we're currently training them to be placed.
Oh, wow. That's neat. So, all right. Well, Todd, I got to tell you, it's always fascinating talking to you because, I think the last time we had you on the podcast, Tactical Back Office was sort of new, and it's interesting to see how much you guys have grown and how you're really kind of coming up with these sort of tailor-made insourced solutions for HMV staffing.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, and we look forward to the next one.
Oh, yeah. So, and last but not least, Todd, so how do HME providers find out more information about Tactical Back Office?
The absolute best way is to go to our website at www.tacticalbackoffice.com, fill out the little interest card that comes directly to me, and we'll get a phone call going and figure out what your needs are and take it from there.
There you go. Okay. Okay. Thanks again to Todd from Tactical Back Office. Interesting stuff. I it's these unique staffing solutions that we're starting to see crop up in the industry. I think it's just fascinating and totally apropos to what HME providers are doing. So I expect we'll hear more from Todd in the future. Okay. We'll bring the podcast to a close. Please don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button there as well so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. And subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Or if you want to save a tree, you can get the digital flipbook edition instead, which is really handy, in fact, because you can save it to your hard drive as a PDF. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter. And now we're also on LinkedIn as well. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. You can hit me up via email at DKOP as in Paul, F as in Franklin at 1105 Media. Or like I mentioned before, you can reach me on Twitter at Postacute News. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling HME business topics like insourcing. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.